Thank you for coming to the Lord's house this morning. We're so glad that you're here and pray that God will just bless you in a special way as we spend some time in His Word. Already been blessed with the music. Always blessed with the fellowship. You know, it's good to see our brothers and sisters in the Lord and to know one of these days we're going to have that fellowship on and on and on and on and on and on for eternity. It's going to be fantastic. Would you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9? And really we're going to focus on just one verse, I think. Somebody told me they had to be out by 2 o'clock, so we'll... I forgot who that was, but... Now, depending upon the translation that you have, yours may start out a little different or be a little different. But I want us to focus in on 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And we're going to just read it a little bit at a time. It starts off in the King James, "And God is..." God is. By the very fact that we use the word God, that's somebody that's over us. That's somebody that's greater than us. That's somebody that's more powerful than us. God is. He exists. And if God is, then that means we're going to have to give an account of our lives to Him. He's going to be looking at us. He's with us, He's judging us, He's loving us. Because of who He is, God is. Now I realize that there are people today that say there is no God. But really there is. How can you look at all the beauty and all the things that were created and say, nobody made it, it just happened. You look at this building. Oh, over a million years, it just evolved, and here we sit. Are you kidding me? Somebody designed it. Somebody made the materials. Somebody built it. Somebody painted it. Somebody decorated it. It didn't just happen. God is. And then he says, God is able. Now, able means that the capacity to do something. All of us are able to walk. You got in the building this morning, didn't you? Now, some of us with walkers, some of us with some grunts as we came up the steps, and some of these little ones, it was more of a run than a walk. But we are able to walk, the capacity to do something. And Paul, as he writes to these Corinthian Christians, said, God is able. God has the capacity to do something. The power, the ability, the want to do something. Now, what is it that God is able to do? He's able to make all grace abound toward you. All grace. Is there any more than all? If you owned every square inch of the land in Stanley County, would anybody else own any? No. He says, all grace. Now that's wonderful because you remember in Romans it says, all have sinned. So that means we all need forgiving grace. We all need forgiving grace. And apart from that forgiving grace, we're lost. We have no future except an eternal punishment. All grace. All grace. To abound toward you. Now, what does the word abound mean? Run over. Run over. Now you think about it, I get my water from the city of Albemarle. I can put a glass in the sink in the kitchen. I can turn on the water. And pretty soon that little glass is full. But if I leave the water running, that glass is just going to overflow. And as long as I leave the water running, the glass is going to continue to overflow. All grace abound toward you. It doesn't matter how bad you've sinned. Some people think, well, you know, I've done so much bad, or I've done one thing that was so terrible, God could not possibly forgive me. Oh, but He can. He wants to. He makes all grace abound toward you. A running over grace. A never-ending grace. The spigot is always running. In Lamentations we read, His mercies are new every morning. All grace abounding toward you. It doesn't matter what you've sinned. The only the only thing that grace won't cure, or the only thing there's no grace for, is this: you rejecting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you say, no, I don't want Jesus, I don't want Him to save me, I don't want to go to heaven, there is no grace for that. Now you could say no verbally and vehemently, or you could say no by neglect. And there are people that, you know, I'm going to get saved someday. I'm going to wait a while after I've sowed my wild oaks. Or I'm going to wait for this or that or the other. And by neglect we can say no. And if we say no, there's no grace for it. But if we are willing to say, I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, there is grace and grace and more grace. And if we continue to go after we become Christian, sometimes we sin. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Grace. Over and over and over again. And you know, sometimes we blow it and we go say, God, I'm sorry. I blew it. I won't ever do that again. Within a month, we've done it again. Now, you know, maybe you're not like I am, but I suspect you've done it again. I know I have. And you go back and you say, Lord, you know, I didn't mean to do it again, but I did it. There's grace. It occurs to me that if Jesus told the disciples, forgive 7 times 70, which is an infinite forgiveness, is not our Heavenly Father more loving than we are? Is He not more forgiving than we are? That grace just continues to run over. Now, since I was sort of laughing about it this morning, thinking about it. You know, since my water comes from the city, and I think they get it from the lake up at Tuckertown, you know, there at 49, theoretically, I could let that spigot run till I drained Tuckertown Lake. But you know, that's not going to happen because the water running in from the river upstream is faster and more than what's coming out of my spigot. So that means the grace is never going to run out. The water is never going to run out. I can run my spigot as long as I want to, and the water's never going to run out. You can go to the Lord as many times as you need to. And as awful or as not so awful the sin, God's grace never runs out. Praise the Lord for that. Thank God for a God who is so loving and so kind and so gracious. Paul says God is able to make all grace abound or run over toward you. Fantastic. Don't let the devil beat you down and say, God doesn't love you anymore. God's not going to forgive you for that. You've gone too far this time. God's grace is available. We just have to keep the spigot turned on. By continuing to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, confessing sin when we're aware of it, and allowing that grace to cleanse us. Mercy's new every morning. God's grace. God's grace abounding toward us. And then, it's not just forgiving grace, it's blessing grace, it's empowering grace, it's providing for you grace, so that all that you need and all that you want to do for the Lord is possible. And just notice the way he goes on to say, God is able to make all grace abound toward you in order that, and King James just says that, but it means in order that or so that, you always, now how long's always? All the time. 24/7. 365 and a quarter days a year. Always having all sufficiency. And how much sufficiency is all sufficiency? All of it. In all things may abound to every good work. Notice how Paul just keeps piling it on. All grace. Always. All sufficiency. All things abounding to every or all good works. Over and over and over again, Paul uses the completeness, the totality, the leave no exceptions idea that God will grace you with the abilities, the resources for whatever he calls you to do. You know, sometimes we feel a tug in our heart to do something for the Lord. And we look and say, you know, I can't afford that. Or I don't have the ability to do that. Or I don't have the training to do that. And yet, since the Bible is true, whatever that tug in your heart from the Holy Spirit is, there's all sufficiency, all of the time, every situation for you to do it. Isn't it interesting how often in the Bible God took the unlikeliest of people and used them? Moses has been out in the desert for 40 years. Basically just talk to sheep. He said, God, I can't talk. God says, I'll make Aaron available and we'll get this job done. Abraham and Sarah, 75 and 65 years old. God says, I'm going to give you some kids. Are you serious? Are you serious? 25 years go by and still no kids. And then God says, I'm going to give you some kid. I'm going to give you a kid. And he did. Gideon. scared out of his wits, saying, I'm the most unlikeliest of candidates. I come from a bad tribe, small tribe. My family's the least in that tribe. My daddy's the run of the litter in the tribe, and I'm the run of the litter of his family. God says, you're a mighty man of God, a mighty warrior. Amazing. I think it's interesting when Samuel goes to Jesse and says, God has told me to anoint one of your sons to be the next king of Israel. Jesse didn't even bother to call David. He brought all the other guys in, all the other sons in, and Samuel said, nope, 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 nope. Finally said, is this all the boys you got? Well, yeah, the one kid out there taking care of the sheep. His own daddy didn't think he had the wherewithal, the leadership abilities to be king. You know, when your own daddy didn't think much of you, that's pretty tough. And yet God had the all-sufficiency, all power to anoint David king, and he became, along with his son Solomon, the mightiest king in Israel's history. Isn't it interesting? Now you see, one of the reasons God does this is so we don't try to take the credit. You remember Paul writes to the Corinthians and says something to the effect, not many mighty, not many rich, not many noble were called, that God might get the glory. If we could come in and say, well, we did that because I'm the smartest guy in town, I'm the most educated guy in town, we'd get the glory. But when God takes us and empowers us to do things for him, that in our natural abilities, we're not able. He gets the glory. He gets the glory. Paul says here, God tugs at your heart. God has something for you to do. God has a ministry for you to perform. He's going to give you the sufficiency, the resources to do it. Don't believe the devil's lie. God can't use me. I'm just a pew sitter. God's got a ministry for every one of us, somewhere, somehow. God's got a ministry for you. This morning I thought of a lady named Esther, not the one in the Bible. I was 23, so I thought she was old, but she probably was 60 or something, you know. And she was a sitter with an elderly lady in the church in Siler City. Now Esther wasn't mentally handicapped, or as we would say years ago, retarded, but she was just barely above that level. She was just barely above that level. But she, you know, she functioned well. She took care of Miss Hattie and met her needs, and she would come to church with Miss Hattie. About once every 2 or 3 months, Esther would come up during an invitation and say, I want to testify. Well, the first time I wasn't real sure about it. But after a while I learned, Esther wanted to testify, she's going to bless your socks off. She couldn't teach Sunday school. She didn't sing in the choir. But when God spoke to her heart, and she wasn't embarrassed or ashamed to get up and say something for the Lord, she blessed everybody in the church that had eyes to see and ears to hear. All sufficiency in all things, that you may abound to every good work. The potential that we have right here is incredible. Not because of who we are, but because of who God is. Right here sits about 50 sticks of dynamite that God could use to blow up Stanley County for Jesus. If we just believe what the Bible just told us. And say, Lord, I receive your all grace. I receive your all sufficiency. I receive it in everything so that I may abound to every good work. Sometimes, you know, we get thinking about, well, there are not many of us. Think about old Gideon. Had 23,000 soldiers. God said, that's too many. God kept whittling down that he didn't have but 300. And I'm sure Gideon went to the Lord and said, now, Lord, I don't like the trend here. I don't like where this is going. But that 300 routed an army of 110,000. One of the saddest places in the New Testament, I believe it's John 6, where Jesus turns to the crowd and says, will you also go away? Because it says there, right before that, many forsook him and left. But the 12 hung in there. And the 12 plus others, they were a part of that inner core, spread Christianity all over the world. 50 sticks of dynamite spiritually. If we believe the Bible and act on what God says and receive that all grace and that all sufficiency, amazing what we can do in Stanley County. And wherever you work, you may be in another county working. Amazing what God could do. Paul writes to a group of people that were battling Roman persecution, living in an idolatrous city. And he says, listen, guys, you on the winning side. Because you got a great God. Great God. Receive what He can give you and allow Him to use you for His glory. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you may be efficient, sufficient in all things, always, and abound to every good work. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? If not, you need to receive that grace that's running over for you today. You need to walk this aisle and say, today I give my heart and life to Jesus. And then I want to ask every Christian here, what's God tugging at your heart saying, this is what I want you to do? Are you saying, yes, Lord? Are you saying, Lord, I'm not sufficient? You are sufficient. He will give you that sufficiency. Just say, Lord, I'll be obedient. As we sing the invitation, would you come?